Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. And all that is within me. Hallelujah to your holy name. Hallelujah to your righteous name. How great is our God. How great, how great, how great, how great, how great is our God. Hallelujah. Angels bow before you. Heaven and earth adore you. How great, how great, how great is our God. Hallelujah, Father. We come to give your name the praise on today. We come to give your name the glory and all the honor. Father God, we come in gratitude, Father God, on this morning. Father God, we come to say thank you for waking us. We say thank you for blessing us. We say thank you for keeping us. We say thank you for new mercies that embrace us. We say thank you for your grace, your all-sufficient grace, Father God. Father, we want to bless you for a host of angels encamped around about us, Father God. We say thank you for the prayers of the saints. We say thank you for the body of Christ. We say thank you, Father, for the precious Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God, for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Father God, we bless you that we can approach you as Abba Father on this morning. Father, we thank you for an open heaven. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the body of Christ. Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for eternal life. We thank you for the activity of our limbs, Father God. Lord, we come to say thank you for a reasonable portion of strength. Oh, God, we honor you. We honor you, Father. And we say thank you, thank you, thank you, Father God, for who you are. We say thank you, Father God, for all that you have done, what you are doing right now, even the things yet to be revealed. Father God, we say thank you for protecting us from evil and danger, seen and unseen. We thank you that we are, Father God, unable to be touched by evil because we are covered, Father God, in your word. Hallelujah. We are covered, amen, by your word. Hallelujah. We say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all the prayers that you have answered, Father God. Thank you for being a prayer answerer, Father God. And we say thank you, thank you, thank you, that our living is not in vain. We say thank you for your purposes for our life, Father, for we realize that there is a purpose, and we thank you for giving us the will and the mindset to determine that purpose and to fulfill that purpose, Father, that our living will not be in vain. And when we see Jesus, when we see Jesus, amen, amen, and amen. And so we bless you today, Father, for everything, for everything. It did not have to be, Father God. It did not have to be, Father God. We could have been, Father God, in somebody's casket right now, Father God. We could have been buried 6 feet under by now, Father God. We could have been taken out of here. But, Father God, you said not so. Not so, Father. And we know, Father, it is not a vaccine that is holding us. It is not our diet, not the juice we're drinking, not the food we're eating, Father, not the address that we live, Father God. It's none of those things, Father God. Father God, it's nobody but you, Father God, nobody but you. Father, if you would move your hand from us, Father, it's over. If you move your hand, it's over, Father, because Satan would just have full privilege to come in and bring destruction. But, Father God, we want to say thank you for staying your hand. And we know we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But we want to say thank you for it, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries, Father. We thank you for the longevity of this ministry. We thank you, Father God, that this ministry is pleasing in your sight. Father God, we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you, Father God. Hallelujah, that the building is still being built. The foundation is still being solidified. And you are always being glorified. And so, Father God, we pray that you would just have your way on this day. Hallelujah, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable, always acceptable, and by your sight. and our soul says amen. And as you told your disciples to say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, both now and forever. Amen. And our soul says amen, amen, and amen. And so we bless be the name of the Lord. We bless be the name of the Lord. Good morning, 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 saints. Amen, brothers and sisters. Amen, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Amen, laddie-daddy, everybody, under the sound of my voice, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Life for Jesus Kingdom Ministries, Mentoring Kingdom Leadership, where Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen, a place where we come together early in the morning. This is the hour. This is the hour that Jesus would pray. Ah, thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. Uh-huh. Oh, God just gave me something else to put in my book. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. That I am writing that God gave me. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. I feel like, amen, the prophets of old, when God breathed, amen, his word on them, amen, and they just wrote the scriptures. But that's how this book that I'm writing right now is coming out of me. It's like pouring water out of a glass. It's really effortless. It's really effortless. Amen. Glory be to God. And how Jesus is doing this. Amen. It's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. Amen. And we give God all the praise, the honor, and the glory. If you are a first time listener, amen, to our platform, well, we just want to welcome you with a mighty, mighty, mighty hug, amen, and say welcome, amen. You have indeed come to the right place at the right time, because Jesus is here and Jesus Christ is Lord. This is his platform, amen. We are his people. This is his service. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. He's the one that pays the bills every month to keep us going. Amen. Glory. When he touches your heart to give. Amen. So we just want to, amen, bless the name of Jesus. We want you to know that all of our services are archived at blogtalkradio.com/ Kingdom Leadership. You can also like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, amen, and our website is www.lifewordjesus.org. Amen, and we bless be the name of the Lord. All right, all right. We don't know how many of you had an opportunity to see the broadcast on Media TV last night. Amen, glory be to God. If you missed us, we'll be back on Wednesday and Friday. We want to thank God for that platform. Amen. I spoke to the media engineers afterwards. I mean, we think we have a lot of people here on Blog Talk Radio. Our numbers have it's no comparison to the exposure that we have, amen, on Media TV. Amen. I mean, we are literally in 127 countries, literally, amen, and thousands on thousands and actually up in the millions, amen. And so, beloved, amen, what we want to do as we continue, matter of fact, we'll be going and doing about four of some more videotapings this week, amen. And so pray with us, amen. So now what we want the people to do is respond, to respond to the gospel message, to respond to the motivation, amen, without us having to, you know, trick anybody and all that. I'm not up to no games and no gimmicks, amen, but for the people to respond. We have the numbers. You can go into the studio and find out how many people are listening, amen. We can do that, but we want the people now to respond. We just don't want them to go and say, hey, that was good, that was a good teaching, you know. Dr. Frieda is doing a good job. Sister Erica is doing a good job. Okay, thank God for that. But now we want a response. We want the people to respond. And a lot of them are signing up for our blogs. We thank God for that. Amen. But we want to just pray for God's wisdom to just continue to lead us, that we can be effective, and we will measure our effectiveness by the response of the people. That's how we really know. See, not by how many people watched, Because sometimes you can turn it on and go to sleep. See, y'all know how we do. Sometimes you turn on a TV program and you go to sleep, you know. Or, you know, you got the TV on and you somewhere else, you know. But so we thank God for that. But now we want to measure the success of what we are doing about a response. And we know that it is, amen. Because why? Because we're doing what the Lord is telling us to do. Amen. Glory be to God. And God is making a way out of no way. Amen. God has paid the bill every month. Every month, amen, since we've been on Media TV, God has paid the bill. So that's why we know that we are in the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. If it's his will, it's his bill. Amen. And so we want to thank God. All right. Now we're into a brand new day, a day that the Lord has made. It feels so good. I'm telling you the truth. I got up this morning and I did my 30-minute workout before the prayer call. Sometimes I do it after the service, before the service, and sometimes I do it after. And I'm telling you, saints, amen, it's such a good feeling when you get it done. It's such a good feeling when you get it done. I was sharing with somebody the other day. I said, look, don't nobody want to exercise, and you sweating and building muscles, and you know what I mean? You don't even want to think about it. You know, you put it off, and you never get around to it. You never get around to it. Amen. But my goal is to lose 1 pound a week. 1 pound a week. I want to shed off 15 pounds in the next 3 months, and I want to do 1 pound a week. And that is easier said than done, but it can be done, especially when you have exercising equipment right here in front of you. See? And so it's such a good feeling. Amen. Isn't it amazing, beloved? You put a lot of energy out, you know, working, exercising, but when you're finished, you get more energy. Yeah, that's how it is when you're serving the Lord. Amen. You're putting out a lot. Amen. But you get more back. You get more. More is returned to you than what you give out. That's why he said, give and it shall be given. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. So, Father God, we say thank you that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts are acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen and amen and amen. Beloved, amen. Yesterday, amen, we spoke about offenses. Amen. Glory be to God. And we encourage you to stop tripping. Amen. We also showed you in the word, amen, where Jesus indicated that offenses are going to come. Don't even think about it. Offenses are going to come. And even more than them coming, amen, beloved, we're going to offend other people. It's amazing how, you know, we can, you know, make a long list of everybody that have offended us. We're still holding things in our heart from last week, last year, from the time we were infants and toddlers and teenagers. And, you know, we have this whole list of people. But isn't it amazing, amen, when you flip the paper over for you to list the names of people that you have offended, that list is always short. Matter of fact, you can't even think of nobody. You can't think of nobody that you offended. You got this whole list of people that offended you, amen, and you never forgave them, and now you have this animosity building up in your heart, this hardness in your heart, this unforgiving spirit in your heart, and then you're wondering why the devil was in your way and hindering your prayers. And what you have to realize is not the devil. It's not the devil. God said, if we hold unforgiveness in our heart, God will not hear us. And so because the devil knows this, beloved, this is why the devil builds a trap for us to be offended. He gives us the bait, glory be to God, and if we are not wise, beloved, if we are not walking in discernment, amen, if we don't have a prayer life, amen, and a life of fasting, amen, beloved, and most times we're going to fall into the bait. All of us have. The question is, have you neither been dated? The question is, how many more times you going to allow it to happen? How many more times you going to fall for the okie doke? How many more times you going to allow the devil to bamboozle you? See? And so what we want to do today, beloved, amen, is turn it around. We want to turn it around. Yesterday, we gave you 2 points, amen, to help you to overcome, amen, that, beloved. We told you to do everything in your power, okay, to communicate correct messages to one another. And that takes practice. It takes practice to really be clear and to really, you know, break down, you know, what you're trying to say. It's so easy to mumble jumble some words together. You know what I mean? But that takes prayer and it takes practice. And I'm always amazed when I see, and I try to be a good communicator. I'm still practicing. And asking God to help me to be better. But, you know, when I see good communicators, people that really, I mean, when they get finished speaking, there was no, I mean, you really don't have any questions, you know, about what was communicated, you know, because it was very, very, very clear. Let's be clear. Okay. And so that's one thing, beloved, amen, that will, amen, avoid offenses. Okay, and then the second thing that we left with you yesterday was to do everything in your power to bring healing and restoration whenever misunderstanding and offense occurs between ourselves and someone else. All right? And beloved, amen. And sometimes we just have to, well, I don't know why folks don't want to say I'm sorry. Well, we do know if you don't mean it, it's hard to say. If you ain't feeling it, I mean, you just don't want to lie. I'm going to tell them I'm sorry so I can get my blessing. No, no, that thing got to come from your heart. It has to originate in your heart. I mean, you can teach your parakeet to say I'm sorry. I mean, I see people on television, they got their dogs talking. You can teach your dog to say, I'm sorry. That thing has to originate in your heart, beloved. God, that's what God judges is our heart. We have to be Christians in our heart. You talk to people and you're a Christian. Yeah, well, I got baptized such and then nobody asked you what day you got baptized. Because there's a lot of devils getting baptized. If Christ is not in your heart, you go down in that water, a dry devil, and you come up a wet devil. If I belong to so-and-so church or so-and-so is my pastor, blah, 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 blah. All that's good, beloved. That's good your name is on the church roll. Good you got a pastor, an overseer. All right. But now you still haven't answered the question. Are you a Christian in your heart? When were you converted? See? Beloved, amen. When were you converted? Amen. Let me show you something as we go into our lesson on today. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me show you a scripture here in Acts. Write this scripture down in your notebooks. Mm-hmm. Luke 22:32. No, that ain't the one. Okay, yeah, that is it. That is it. Here you go. Luke 22:32. This is what it reads. It says, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Ah, well, that's a subject all by itself. When will you change?
Oh, I'm saved. I did the sinner's prayer, okay? You did the sinner's prayer. Okay, good. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, so now let's evaluate. Okay, but I still got the same lifestyle. You know what I mean? I still drink. I still smoke. I still fornicate. I still lie. I still gossip. You know what I mean? I'm still rebellious against leadership. You know what I mean? I still, you know, keep my money to myself. You know what I mean? I don't believe in tithes and offerings. You know what I mean? I don't believe. I don't pray like that. You know what I mean? I got other people praying for me. I ain't praying. I go to all the parties. Well, I'm restricted right now with COVID-19, so I made my own little private parties. No, ain't nothing wrong. You look, like the, Lord, we have little orgies, you know what I mean? Because, you know, the more the better. And so you're doing everything that you did before you got saved. No, I ain't doing everything I did before I got saved. Matter of fact, I'm doing some things that I added some stuff to that list, because, you know, I'm saved under grace, because, you know, grace got me now, because they teach me that, you know what I mean, that I got eternal salvation. It's eternal security, you know. And so I heard the preacher say the other day, I got eternal security. So, you know, whatever I do, you know, as long as I did that sinner's prayer, you know what I mean, it don't make no difference. I go out there and kill 25 people, I'm still going to heaven because I got eternal security. And you on your way to hell. You are, because you don't know the scripture. You better sit down and get some teaching. Yes, the Bible does teach eternal security, beloved, but the Bible teaches conditional eternal security. And I'm preparing the lesson right now to bring that to you in a series. Not unconditional eternal security, conditional eternal security. And I've got all the scriptures to back it up. So, all right. So we see here when your life hasn't changed. So now we go back to the same question here. Amen. When were you converted? When was your heart changed? Are you going to tell me you accepted Jesus in your heart and your heart hasn't changed? Wait a minute. But let's back up here 1 second. Wait a minute. We got to get a little clarity. Somebody lying. And I'm going to tell you who is not, because God is not a liar. You're going to tell me that you received Jesus Christ into your heart to live, to sit on the throne of your heart, to rule as Lord, as Savior, and your heart didn't change with him there? Oh, no. Okay. All right. Let us move on this morning in the name of Jesus. All right. So we see here where the devil sets the bait for us to be offended. Glory be to God. We want to take that a little step deeper, beloved, amen, because we want to bring deliverance, amen, to somebody on today. Let me ask you a question. Beloved, have you ever found yourself in a predicament where you was trying to help someone who resisted you? You was trying to help someone who spoke disrespectfully to you or just flat out acted ugly? I mean, ugly. Anybody ever experienced that? I know all of our hands can go up. Some of us can put our feet up too. Let me ask you a question. In that instant, did you find your blood boiling? Did you find your temperature rising and your emotions agitated? Were you so angry that you felt like you would detonate, beloved? Be honest. How did you feel at that moment? Did you feel tempted to fly into a rage, lecture the ingrate, derogatory for their attitude, or even slap them right across the face? Hey, tell the truth, I've seen it happen. Just slap them. Oh, my God. Beloved, it's natural to feel exasperated when someone you are trying to help doesn't respond appropriately to the assistance that you are offering them. But yielding to your own emotions and getting in the flesh won't make the situation any better. In fact, it will only make the situation worse. So, beloved, you have to hold your tongue. You have to stay seated in a chair and keep your head on straight when you find yourself in a situation like this. Some people are just not easy to get along with. Some people, they're just, you know, they just refuse to cooperate. They think everybody is against them. They can't learn nothing. They can't teach nothing. Don't tell me nothing. Glory be to God. They don't want to hear anything about your constructive criticism. They just don't care. Just leave me alone. And they're ugly and they're nasty to everybody. And, you know, and they think that it's the other people. It's never them. It's always other people picking on them. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The whole world is against it. Yeah. And all you want to do is help this person. All you want to do is pour on this person. All you want to do is, you know, but they refuse your help. And if you ain't careful, they bite you in your back. They stab you in your back. But look, let me tell you something. You go to the zoo today and try to put some peanuts in your hand and try to feed a snake. He might take them peanuts. When he get finished, he's going to bite your hand in the process. Beloved, have you ever felt this way before? Can you remember a time when you tried to help your child, your children, but your children's response was belligerent and unreceptive to you? Or can you recall a time when you worked with a fellow employee whose attitude toward the boss was so bad that he or she deserved to be fired for it? Or perhaps, beloved, you can remember someone at church, I said church, who had a critical attitude toward the pastor and got involved in ugly backbiting and gossip. And I hope it wasn't you. Beloved, when we read in our Bibles, when Timothy was serving as pastor of the Ephesian church, he had some insubordinate people in church leadership positions. That's why you got to be real careful who you put in positions. Because power only make you more of what you already are. Apparently, beloved, he had written to Paul about this problem. Because when Paul wrote his second letter back to Timothy, Paul addressed the problem, telling Timothy what kind of attitude that he needed to maintain when dealing with people who had a bad attitude. Baby, you're going to get some people with a bad attitude. What was Paul's advice? Beloved, we read it in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And he reads this. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Ah, we see the fruit of the Spirit moving now, don't we? Brother Paul says, beloved, we must strive. The servant of the Lord must strive. Beloved, that word strive is a Greek word, and it means, glory be to God, to quarrel, dispute, argue, or to get into strife or contention with someone else. At first, this Greek word, beloved, is used to picture armed combatants who exchange blows with deadly weapons. Later, it came to denote men who fought hand to hand, striking one another, punching one another, wrangling, rolling on the ground. as they slugged it out with each other. But by the time of the New Testament, when Paul used this word, beloved, in this verse, it depicted people who were at odds with each other, bickering, squabbling, slugging it out. Know anybody like that? Yeah, I know. Hopefully it ain't you. Not with swords or fists, beloved, but they was fighting with their words. Don't tell me that words can't hurt you. Stick and stone may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. The devil is a liar. Because some of y'all hurting right now for some words that people have laid down on you. Still bleeding. You're still crushed. You haven't forgiven them yet. You're trying to act normal, but you haven't gotten over those words. Baby, words have power. Especially when you're slugging it out. That's the worst type of fight. A verbal fight is the worst type of fight. Sometimes you just better off than getting out there, punching up, just go ahead and punch up on one another. And glory be to God, and hug up and make up and heal. But them words will take you to your grave if you let it. So, beloved, we see here where Paul urges Timothy, and he urges all of us, not to allow ourselves to get dragged into a war of words when we are trying to correct people who have bad attitudes. Next, Paul tells us that we must be gentle. He says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. You see that? Apt to teach. And patient. When we look up this word gentle, beloved, in the Greek, it means to be mild-mannered, to be kind, to be temperate, to be calm, to be gentle. We find this word used by Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Where he reminds the Thessalonians of how he had behaved among them. He writes, the scripture reads like this. He says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. Beloved, it is very important that we see how Paul uses this word in the context of caring for little children. This suggests that now Paul is telling Timothy to realize that he is dealing with immature people who must be treated like children. Beloved, when you're dealing with people with bad attitudes and all they want to do is fight you and fight you verbally, and sometimes they even get physical with you, you must deal with them like little children. The Bible has a remedy and an answer for every solution. Parents are to teach and discipline their children without flying off the handle every time their children are rude and disrespectful. Good parents don't just, you know, slap the children upside the head every time they do something or say something, but they deal with them in discipline. They give them time out. Glory be to God. They say, you know, let me show you, John. Johnny, that's not how we do it here. Johnny, when you bite somebody, somebody gonna bite you back. So what Paul is doing here is just talking and encouraging and discipling Timothy, beloved. Now, Timothy must assume this kind of parenting, parental, correcting, teaching role in the way he deals with these who are acting inappropriately in his church. And, beloved, let me tell you something. It works. Beloved, when people behave disrespectfully toward their boss, they behave disrespectfully toward their department director, their pastor, their parents. They are demonstrating that they are not smart, and they are also demonstrating, certainly, that they are not mature. Beloved, when you see this, it should send a red flag before you to let you know the maturity level you are dealing with in the lives of these individuals. You are dealing with immature people. They're immature. They haven't grown up yet. Some of them refuse to grow up. Even if they are called to the ministry, beloved, even if they have been to Bible school, even if they have been members of your church for a long time, the fact that they would act disrespectfully toward authority reveals that these people are still young in terms of maturity. Beloved, but you should thank God that this came to light. Because had you moved these individuals upward in a higher place of visibility, especially for leaders, this is why I pray and I fast and I look for spiritual guidance. And I'm always meeting with Bishop Lambert and other leaders, beloved, because there's safety in the multitude of counselors. Because I'm telling you, if you put the wrong person in position, if you elevate the wrong person while they're still immature, while they're not ready, beloved, a blessing out of season can end up being a curse. And when these immature individuals are placed, beloved, in a higher place of visibility, while they are still at this deficit level of maturity, it's going to be a big problem. It's going to be a big problem. Baby, it's nothing like an immature person in a place of responsibility or in a high-level position, and they're still beloved, amen, and they want to throw around their brief authority. Oh, my God. It's like, glory be to God, the boss went out to lunch, amen, and the secretary got the office for 1 hour, amen, and she want to call all the shots till the boss get back from lunch. Her brief authority. But now, beloved, you can see that they're not ready for a higher place of responsibility. This is why God makes us wait sometimes, beloved. We don't want to wait. We want it now. Give me the promotion now. Give me the position now. I want it now. I've been here the longest. I've been there. I've been there. Yeah, that's the sad part of the story. You've been here the longest and you still ain't mature. You've been here for 20 years. Now God uses somebody who just came around 5 years and now they're promoted over you. Well, that's favoritism. No, that wasn't no favoritism. That's maturity. You ain't grown up yet. Some of us see it in our children. Glory be to God. We see with some of our younger children are more mature than some of our older children. Well, I'm the oldest. Give it to me. No, you're not. You ain't ready. My mother, my parents, they partial. No, your mother and father ain't partial, baby. They got wisdom. They got discernment. You ain't ready. Beloved, amen. We see, amen, glory be to God, hallelujah, where some people, and the Lord spoke about the parable, and the men went out, and he hired servants, and they worked all day. He said, I'm going to give you such and such and such a money at the end of the day. He said, all right, it's a deal. Amen. They got down to the last hour. He was still hiring people. He hired some other people. They came in, they worked 1 hour, and they got paid the same amount of money that the people got paid for working all day. They say, this ain't fair. This ain't fair. Said who? Said who? It's God's money. It's God's word. So now we can see that they're not ready for higher place of responsibility. You can also visibly discern the areas in which you need to help them so that they can maximize their potential in the Lord. And that's what I'm called to do. That is my purpose in life, beloved. My purpose as an apostle is not so much as to build physical churches around the globe. My job as an apostle, amen, is to build the minds of God's people. And we are the church, so it's the same. To build the minds of God's people, that means I'm dealing, as I'm growing, amen, but I'm dealing with a lot of immaturity. See, people are offended very easily, see? Glory be to God. I've been offended. My skin is a little tough now. It's getting a little bit tougher. Amen. Glory be to God. I can take more. Amen. And more and more and more. Amen. I'm getting there. Amen. But I'm dealing. And so hot. So the Lord, even before God gave me this message and I tie it in, I actually have to deal with immature people like I deal with children. I got to deal with them like I deal with children because, believer, a person immature is a child. The same way you would deal with a little child, all right? You're not going to deal with a six-year-old the same way you're going to deal with if an adult, hopefully. Why? Because that little baby is immature. So you talk to them, okay, Johnny, all right. You okay? All right. Okay. That's how you deal with them, right? And so God will give you the wisdom to deal with these immature people, beloved, and hopefully they'll grow up. You can't feed into everything. See, you can't feed into every conversation. See, and people be starting conversations or saying things. They want you. They waiting for you to feed into it, to start a debate, to start an argument. Baby, you got to see that coming. You can't feed into that. You would never get anything done in the Lord's kingdom because you always be putting out a fire over here and always been trying to straighten this out and always trying to explain why you didn't show up, why you didn't call. Look, I don't have to tell you. If you call me and you go into voicemail, why should I have to call and tell you why I couldn't receive your phone call when you called? Sorry, I couldn't get the call. I ain't got to let you know I was talking to my lawyer. I was in the bathroom washing my face. Why do we feed into all? Beloved, when you're dealing with immature, let me tell you something, and I'm closing. This is what we call this message today. When they go down, we go up. Thank you, Michelle Obama. When they go down, we go up because people will pull you. And beloved, loving, you never be up because it's got that crab mentality. They see you going up in the spirit. They always trying to throw a word out there. You think it's cute. You think it is. You think it is. And what do we do? Instead of letting that bounce off us, what would you do if a child told you that? What if a child came and tried to ruffle your face? You think you can? What you going to do? Go over there and beat the child up, slap the child in the face? You know what I mean? What you going to do? Abuse a child? Well, maybe some people will. Most of us wouldn't. We would deal with that a little bit different. Now, Johnny, why do you say that, Johnny? Okay, Johnny, well, let me explain to you how this works. And, beloved, that's how you've got to treat these people, these immature people. That's why Brother Paul says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. You must not quarrel. You must not dispute. You must not argue. You must not get into strife or contention with someone else. But you must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Here go the fruit of the Spirit. Here go the fruit of the Spirit. So, beloved, as we translate 2 Timothy 2:24, according to the Greek, here we go. Listen here. 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not get caught up in a war of words, wrangling, wrestling, bickering, squabbing, arguing, and verbally slugging it out with his contenders. Instead, he must be calm. He must be steady. He must be temperate. He must be kind and gentle in the way he responds. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Beloved, that's why God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. Let me tell you something. This is what God is teaching me how to do. When people come at me, and it's most of the time I see them coming, amen, before they even get there. God has blessed me with that gift. And you just turn that thing around with love before it even, you see the stone coming. You know they setting you up in a conversation so they can hit your heart with something, insinuations, you know what I mean, something. Oh, they coming for you. The devil going to make sure. Remember we said yesterday the bait going to be set. Baby, you got to see that thing come. It's like when the baseball player throw the ball up in the air and glory be to God, and the empire catch it or whoever catches it. Baby, you got to catch that ball. You see it coming. You got your hand up. You're catching it with an arm of love. You're catching it with an arm of love. You all right, baby? Oh, you know they was waiting. They was hoping that the conversation was gonna go another way. You all right, baby? Anything you need prayer for something? Anything good? You're dealing with immature people, baby. I'm telling you, if you don't master this, beloved, you're gonna always let people ruffle your feathers. I was doing good. I can't pray today. Forget about it, y'all. I ain't going. I was good, but I can't believe they took me there. Yeah, they took you there. No, they didn't play. You played yourself. They took you. Why did they take you there and the Holy Spirit is supposed to be leading you? Why did you allow them to trap you up like that? I'm just going to argue with them a little bit. I'm just going to say this. No. You ain't said nothing. You ain't said nothing. Baby, look, you got to know. Let me tell you something. When you really wise, you got to know when to say, okay, you know what? I got to go right now. You ain't got to lie. No, but I got to wash the dishes. I got so-and-so coming over. No, you ain't even lying like that. You ain't got to wash no dishes. Ain't got nobody coming. You ain't got to tell nobody why you got to go. See, that I'm saying we put too much in this thing. You say, just let them know, I just got to go. I got to go right now. Oh, I'm not available right now. Nope. You can't do it. All right, see ya. Huh? Beloved, we need wisdom. We need wisdom. So when you try to bring correction into someone's life who is under your authority, beloved, and that person doesn't initially respond the way he or she should, don't let it ruffle your feathers or throw you into a state of exasperation. Certainly, you shouldn't allow yourself to get so caught up in emotions yet that you descend to their level and start acting just like them. And that's what happens most of the time. They just ignorant. Yeah, now you acting ignorant. They just so rude, and now you acting rude. So now you allow them to bring you down to their level. 2 peas in the pot. The blind leading the blind. What we got going on here? You just like them. When they go down, we go up. And that takes discipline. That's intentionality. That's effort. That's an inward strength. That's focus. That's real. Beloved, this is the time for you to put on your parent-teacher hat. You have to lovingly deal with that person like a child or a young person who needs to be taught how to respond to authority and who needs guidance and correction from someone who loves them. And what should you do, beloved, if you get stirred up or if you enter into a fray of flesh? Let's talk about that as I close this morning. I heard somebody tell me the other day, they said, I'm all caught up in the game. Yeah, you caught up in the game. You don't care. You don't care apart. As a matter of fact, you are the game. And they just keep bugging me. And they, yeah, well, look, don't complain about what you allow. Do not complain about what you allow. Write that down, somebody. Allowing yourself to get entrenched in a war of words. One word lead to another word, lead to another word, lead to another word. Now you got people fist fighting. Sometimes they end up in jail and prison or the graveyard. But what happened? Well, they just opened their mouth and they said this. James talks about the fire, the tongue. Amen, that tongue. Amen, setting the world on fire in the book of James. You can start a fire in your kitchen and burn your whole neighborhood down. Your whole, y'all remember when a couple years ago, when the whole city was wiped off the map over there in California, I believe it was? One match took a whole city off the map. Words do the same thing. Beloved, thank God that your own level of maturity has been exposed. Glory be to God. See, oh God, okay. So when a person ruffles you up and you allow, amen, when that person says something, amen, or you see that person's level of immaturity and then you respond on that level, it has now revealed to you your level of maturity. That you're the same place they at. Yeah, but I got a degree and I got this and I've been and doing this for, baby, I don't care. You got to go on back to the drawing board. Let's go on back. Now you see some people, they get through school, I mean, they got an A and B on this class and that class, but this class here, they got D's and E's. Yeah, okay. You're scoring kind of low over here. You got the D minuses and E's over here. Not only does that other person need to grow, beloved, but this situation has revealed a flaw in your own character. It is so easy for us to look at the immaturity of other people, beloved, when we need to be looking at the immaturity in our own lives. When certain things happen around me, glory be to God, I say, Lord, I thank you. I say thank you, Lord, because I see what you're doing. I say, you're putting people around me the way I used to be. And so I talk to the Lord. I say, God, what they just did over there was pretty ignorant, but God, I remember when I was just like them. What they did wasn't kind. What they did was selfish, Lord. I could tell their feelings is hurt. But God, you know what? I remember when I used to be that way. That's why I can see it. That's why I can detect it, see? Glory be to God for how I used to be. And so God has brought me out of that, and now I'm growing and continue to grow. And that's why I can help somebody. But then when you go out to reach to help somebody, they get offended. They can't even take your correction. They can't even take your instructions. They can't even receive it. So what you just got to just back up, amen, and just pray for them and wait. Glory be to God. But one thing you can't do is allow them to bring you back to where you came from. Yeah. So, beloved, and so when stuff like this happens, it reveals your character. If you react on their level, you're the same place they are. But if you act differently, it's because you're someplace different. When you act in a mature level, it's because you're on a mature level. You can't act on a mature level if you're on an immature level, and vice versa. So sometimes these situations are allowed to happen in our life, amen, so God can confirm the level that we're on. Are we mature or are we immature? Because how you deal with somebody else's immaturity is going to reveal what level of maturity you're on. Drawing attention to an obvious area in your own life that needs attention, an obvious area in your own life that needs correction, and an obvious area in your own life, beloved, that needs a higher level of maturity. So as you pray for that other person to grow, listen to me, and I'm finished. I know I went a couple minutes over today, but listen to me. And those of you taking notes, grab this. Grab this. If you don't remember nothing else I said today, grab this right here. Here you go. As you pray for that other person to grow, beloved, don't forget to include yourself on your prayer list. Father God, we say thank you. Father, please help us to be calm, kind, and gentle when we find it necessary to correct people who are under our care. Forgive us for any time that we have allowed ourselves to become angry and exasperated. And for those times, Father, when we have said things we shouldn't have allowed ourselves to speak. Father, help us to act like a real leader. Help us to act like a disciple. Help us to act as a child of God, taking a parental teacher role. Father, we know that we are called to help take people to a higher level in their work, a higher level in their attitudes and in their lives. So help us to be more like you in the way we deal with people, Father God, who are under our authority, who are under our care. As we learn to bring correction to others the way you bring correction into our lives, we will become a good example and the kind of leader that you have called us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And our soul says amen, 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 and amen again. And we bless be the name of the Lord, beloved, because all of us are leaders. Amen. Because somebody is watching all of us. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right, that's our Wednesday. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Tomorrow's our praise Wednesday. Lord's willing, not unless the Lord tell me something different. I put Lord's willing on there. But Pastor said it was going to be praise Wednesday. And I said Lord's willing too. Because I don't know what the Lord want to do tomorrow. Amen. We make our plans. Amen. And the Lord will direct our steps. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord's willing. We have faith on tomorrow. Amen. And we bless the Lord. Okay, we'll be at the altar of prayer today. Amen. At 12 o'clock noon and at 9 p.m. Please join us at the prayer altar. The telephone number is 385-799-9729. And you can always visit our website at lifewordjesus.org. If you're a first-time listener, please let us hear from you. Amen. We love to hear from you. Amen. Send us out an email. Amen. Give us a call. Amen. Let us know that you're there. If it's something that we can pray for with you, amen, and help you in doing your spiritual journey and to help you, amen, to mature and to all that the Lord has called you to be. Amen. And we bless be the name of the Lord. All right. Amen. Remember, when they go down, we go up. Amen. Satan is always setting a bait to trap you in the cage of offense. Stop tripping. Don't go there, because when you do, it's going to prevent you from winning. Amen. Hallelujah. It's going to prevent you from winning. Beloved, and a lot of us haven't won because we are still down in the chicken coop.
Eagles don't live in the chicken coop. I'm a teacher on the eagles. Matter of fact, if you read my book, The Eagle's Nest, you can learn about the eagle. Eagles don't live in the chicken coop. Why you, with your anointed self, living in the chicken coop, allowing people to keep you in the chicken coop when it's God's will for you to spread your wings and fly? All right. Amen. Maybe we'll do a part three on this. Father God, as we go out today, we ask that you would go with us, lead us, guide us, direct us, instruct us. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, help us not to lean to our own understanding, but to acknowledge you in all of our ways. Father, help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time today, Father, in Jesus' name. We cancel tears. We cancel sorrow. We cancel premature death. We cancel it right now. In Jesus' name, it will not take root, it will not prosper, and it will not come to pass. We bind absolutely every spirit of retaliation in Jesus' name. Father, anoint the prayer warriors as they come to serve at the altar today, 12 o'clock and 9 o'clock, and we say thank you, thank you, thank you, over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for binding every spirit of retaliation. Hallelujah. Now unto him who is able, amen, to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And the church did say, amen, amen, amen. And the church said, amen again. And Satan is defeated. Amen. Darkness is dispelled. And Jesus Christ, amen, he is the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Beloved, amen. Somebody once said, your attitude will determine your altitude. Amen. In life. Amen. They some real words. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to serve you on today. Amen.
Hey,
bless
hey, hey.
Amen.
No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. Is that your testimony? I am free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. I'm no
it. When they go down, we go up. Amen. How high can you go? Amen. Love you, love you, love you. Amen. Have a wonderful day.